I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to two portions of Scripture. Two portions of Scripture. Now, the first portion is in the book of Psalms, chapter 144. Psalm 144. And then I want you to put your marker there. Psalm 144. And as you're turning to Psalm 144, you can also begin turning to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to speak with you a message that the Lord placed upon my heart, and it's a message entitled Bringing Down Our Giants. Bringing Down Our Giants. And I want us to begin reading first in Psalm 144. We're going to read one verse here, and then we will turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Psalm 144 and verse 1, a Psalm of David says this, Blessed be the Lord my strength, who prepares my hands for war and my fingers to fight. Read that one more time. Blessed be the Lord my strength, who prepares my hands for war and my fingers to fight. And now, 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I want us to read verses 34 through 37, and then we will pray. David said to Saul, Your servant who was a shepherd for my father's flock, and was a shepherd for my father's flock. And the lion came and the bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and I struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I took hold of his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them, because he has reviled the armies of the living God. David said, The Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Go, and the Lord be with you. Let's pray. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray that, Lord, you would give life to your word, that, Lord, it would impact and pierce to every one of our hearts, our lives, that it would bear fruit in our lives, we pray, for your word is living and active, it is powerful. And so I ask, Lord, for your anointing in the name of Jesus, for me to be able to relay the message to your people as well as to the people to hear what you are saying. I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen, amen. Every one of us in our Christian experience have gone through struggles. There are times in our lives that we will go through seasons of trial. And some of those trials that we will go through in our lives, some of them are even filled with despair. Some of the struggles that we go through, we have the question, and I'm sure every one of you have had the questions, Lord, why? Lord, why are you allowing me to go through this? And many a time as we're going through that trial, be it a big one, a small one, be it a frustrating circumstance or what have you, at home, in family, on the job, whatever it may be, we begin to surmise, we begin to question and wonder, God, can there really be a purpose in all of this? And I'm here to tell you that your life as a child of God has more significance than you may even realize. There are times that we live our lives and we just think that we're just living our life. We are fulfilling a purpose and just wake up in the morning, living our life, trying to live life the best that we can, which is a good thing. But to be honest with you, your life has more significance than just the daily grind. God has purpose in every single thing that He allows you to go through. Your upbringing may have not been the best upbringing, but I'm here to tell you that now God can use what you have been through to impact people around you because of the very things you've been through. There are times that we experience things in our personal lives and we can wonder, God, how? And yet I'm here to tell you that God can turn around those things for His good and for the furtherance of his kingdom in your life, in your community, and to be honest with you, around the world. God has purpose in everything he allows you to go through. And today, as we look at these scriptures and we talk about bringing down our giants, we begin to try to tie together all that we go through because God has purpose in it all. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it says, "All things work together for the good to those that are called according to his purposes." That means everything that God allows into our lives has purpose within it. Even if we don't understand it, even if we don't comprehend why, God has reason in allowing us to go what we have gone through. Now, because God has purpose, and because God has reason, we don't fully understand all the whys and all the answers, but in the end, it'll make more sense. It's just like that old song said, it will be, how does it say it? We'll understand it better by and by. Have you ever heard that song? It will make more sense. Now, some of the things that we have experienced aren't good things. Some of the things that may have happened in our lives, we may wonder, God, how could you allow this to have happened? And some of the things that we have been through are not necessarily that God has made us to suffer so, because sometimes we have suffered at the hands of another. Some of those things have been meant for evil, have been meant for destruction in our lives. The enemy has infiltrated our homes, our lives, and has touched us in ways that we would wonder, God, why could this even happen to me? But I'm here to tell you that God is able to even turn around those things that have been meant for evil for his good. That God is able to work in you and me the ability to forgive that individual that hurt us. That God is able to help to turn that thing around for his good and his purposes. God is faithful. Now, as we look at the scripture today, we see in Psalm 144 and verse 1, we see the psalmist David praising God and acknowledging that God is his strength. But in that verse, he also says that it is the Lord, his strength, that is teaching his hands to war and his fingers to fight. And in this life, we need to understand and realize that we are in a battle. That there is constant warfare all around us. And we must understand that we are constantly in battle, whether it be spiritual war, and even war in the natural, even though it may not be guns shooting bullets or bombs blasting all around us. The reality is that there is a war, and that war is to try to destroy your life and send you to an eternal hell. And there is a war that is fighting for you to make it into heaven as well. That we are in spiritual war, and we must be ready to fight. But the reality is that things will come into our lives, and God will allow these things into our lives to develop us, to make us stronger. You see, God will be the one that will teach our hands to war and our fingers to fight. God will begin to help us through all the circumstances that we go through to know how to war in this battle. And so if you've only been saved for a little while, I'm here to tell you that you've got to be ready to gird up the loins of your mind in a way. You've got to be ready to stand strong because you are in a war. So whenever you're experiencing a trial and God is allowing you to go through something, you must understand that God has a purpose in that test. And you must pray, God, give me the ability to pass this test for your glory and for your honor. For some of you, you've been in the way for a while and you have been battling for a long time. And God has been developing you, and I'm here to tell you that God hasn't wasted any one of those things in your life. He's going to help you through even greater things. For you see, sometimes in our warfare, we will experience battles, warfare, but there will be times when we will face giants. These giants that can come into our lives are not necessarily large in stature as Goliath was here in David's life. Now, Goliath was over 9 feet tall. And when we read about the giants in the Old Testament, to be honest with you, Goliath was actually kind of short compared to some of them. But these Philistine armies had begun to challenge the living God. They had begun to challenge Israel and the Israelites. And in the midst of this challenge, this great man of war, Goliath, began to challenge the very significance of God in Israel. He wasn't only challenging the people of Israel, he was even challenging the very God of Israel. And all of a sudden, in the course of this story, David was the youngest of his father's family. You know, David was a youth. He was young, like many in this church today. It's nice to see young people in the church. Amen? He was probably in his early teens, if even in his late 10, 11, 12 years. He was young. He was a young boy. And he was the youngest of his father's family. And just to bring some significance to David, whenever Samuel was called to anoint the next king of Israel after King Saul, he was sent to the house of David. His father Jesse brought all of his oldest sons there, left out David because David was tending to the flocks. But that young David had no worry about it. He wasn't trying to strive to get the attention of Samuel. He was content with the sheep. Amen? Praise the Lord. But as Samuel was there to anoint that king, all of Jesse's sons stood before him. And whenever Samuel saw the oldest, he was tall, he was square, he looked like a warrior. He said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." And God rebuked Samuel and said, "He's not the one that I have chosen. Don't look on the outward appearance, for I don't look on the outward appearance, I look on the heart." And of course, all of these oldest sons, all of the sons other than David, passed before Samuel. And then Samuel would say, "Well, don't you have anybody else? Do you have another son?" And he said, "Oh yeah, I got one more. He's the youngest." And when David came to Samuel, God, the Holy Ghost, told Samuel, "That is the next king." But that young boy that was coming to Samuel, the scripture says he was ruddy of appearance. You know what that means? That means his skin was smooth. And he was cute and young. I mean, the young girls were saying to him. You guys know what I mean? He didn't look like a warrior. He was too handsome, too cute, almost just too young. But God said, "There he is." David's responsibility was to tend his father's herds, and that's what he did, and he did it faithfully. He did it faithfully with his harp. He wrote many of the Psalms probably there while he would praise the Lord. And in his Psalms, he would bring out that very truth. "God is teaching my hands to fight and my fingers to war." And this young man, as he was there one day, as he came home from tending the father's herds, his dad said, "I want you to go take some bread to your brothers. Take them some drink as well while you're at it." And so David said, "Okay, father." He was an obedient young boy. And so he got that bag of stuff to take to his brothers, which were then in war with King Saul and the rest of the Israelites. And what's beautiful about the story is that David didn't just leave the flocks. The Bible says he got someone to watch for the flocks while he left. He was responsible, wasn't he? But in his relationship with God and his obedience to his father, he said, "Okay, father," and he left to go and take this food, this treat to his brothers, which were then at war. And as his brother, as David is there, he's beginning to ascend the hill, I'm sure, and he begins to see the army of Israel there on the mountainside. He begins to look for his brothers. You see, he had done this before. But as he was there searching for his brothers, all of a sudden Goliath rolled up on the scene and he began to challenge the Israelites. He began to challenge them. And all of a sudden, as he was challenging the Israelites, David began to wonder, who is this guy? Look what it says there in verse 34. or it says, verse 34, he says, well, actually, that's not where I want to be. 34, where are you at? Verse 36, it says, your servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them. And what's beautiful about it is that when David began to look for his brothers, he began to hear Goliath challenge the Israelites. He heard the challenge, and I'm sure he heard this trumpeting voice. He heard this giant begin to challenge not only the Israelites, but he began to challenge the very God of Israel as well. And he began to ask around and began to wonder, why isn't anyone doing this? And he began to talk, even to his brothers, and his brothers began to say, shut up, young kid. You know, like the older brother tends to do towards the younger brother, or the younger ones, you know what I mean? He began to say, be quiet. And so he began to ask around, what's going on? Is there even a prize for someone that takes him? And so look what happens here. Look at verse 25. It says, the men of Israel, in talking to David, said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it will be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter, and will make his father's house exempt from taxes in Israel. So there was actually some blessing in a way for doing this. And so David began to speak to the men, verse 26, saying, what will be done for the man that kills the Philistine and for this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered the same way, verse 27, so will it be done to the man who kills him. And then look what Eliab does in verse 28. It says, his eldest brother, it says, when he spoke to the men, and it says, Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why have you come down here? And with whom have you left the few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the evil of your heart, for you have come down that you might see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? He doesn't sound like a younger brother, right? Like, what am I doing now? Why are you doing this to me now? And the people answered him again at the first, and so he understands what's happening. And so David eventually finds an audience with Saul, the king, doesn't he? And he begins to tell him, look, God has been with me in the wilderness. I have been a shepherd over my father's flocks. And whenever I have been shepherding my father's flocks, there have been occasions when I have been herding the sheep that the enemy has come in. And he begins to rehearse these very things into the ears of Saul. And he says, whenever there was a lion, and there was a bear that came to try to take a lamb out of the flock, I was ready for battle. Amen. And he says, I went out after that lion and I struck him and I delivered that sheep out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I took hold of his beard, struck him and killed him. Wow. I mean, this is David challenging a lion. To be able to grab its beard means that it was a pretty big one, don't you think? I mean, it had probably a big mane, but he got the beard, he grabbed it, and it says he struck it. What did he struck it with? A rock? A club? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But he struck an actual lion that came to him. And the Bible says that he struck it, and he killed a lion. And then a bear did the same thing. And God was able to deliver David out of the hand of a real lion and a real bear. Wow, that's amazing. I mean, we hear the stories of grizzly bears chasing people up trees and stuff like that, but this is David getting them out and killing them. Amen? But all of these circumstances, I'm sure when David was there tending his father's flock, and the lion came to get this thing, he was just ready to do his father's business, wasn't he? He knew, I've got to protect these sheep. I've got to protect these lambs. And when he saw it coming, I'm sure in his heart he thought, whoa, what am I going to do now? Look at that big old cat coming after me. Amen? And so I'm sure in his humanity he had to have thought, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Do you think he might have had a thought like that? I mean, David wasn't perfect. He was human just like you and me. He had human thoughts. Amen? Now, yes, he may have been full of faith and full of Jesus, and maybe those thoughts just didn't have that kind of ability to reside in his mind, of course. But he challenges that lion, he kills it. Another circumstance is a bear. I wonder if he thought, oh no, here we go again. Right? Another trial, another situation has impacted him. But all of those things that he went through there in the wilderness, where no one else was watching, where no one else understood, only you know what you have gone through. Only you know the experiences that you have had to experience. Some of them have been hard and difficult. But it's between you and the Lord. Some of these things have happened in secret. But when that giant appears and is now challenging Israel, he stands before King Saul and he says, look, that uncircumcised Philistine will be to me just like that lion and just like that bear was. In the same way that God brought me through those trials, God will bring me through this one too. But in the same way that God has allowed me to go through those things, God has a reason for allowing me to go through this thing. And all of those things are ultimately to bring glory to God. And so look at what happens here. Saul says in the latter part of verse 37, go and the Lord be with you. But then Saul in his flesh thinks, this little kid doesn't even know how to fight. You see, unbeknown to Saul, he had been learning over there in the wilderness. Amen? Remember he said in Psalm 144, the Lord is my strength who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Unbeknown to Saul, he knew a warfare that Saul was totally oblivious to. But Saul said, you take on my armor, wear my mail, the chain mail, put on this helmet. And it was a whole piece of armor that had never been tried. I'm sure it was heavy, bulky. I'm sure David thought, there's no way with this armor that I can do this. So then David said, look at the latter part of verse 39. David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off, and he took his staff in hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones out of the brook. You know, they say that Goliath had 4 other brothers. He actually had other brothers that were giants along with him. And they say that he got the 5 stones because he was ready not only to take down Goliath, but the rest of them. Amen? Says he put them in his shepherd's bag, in his pouch, with his sling in hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And what I love about this is that the intimidation of what he was about to face could have intimidated anyone. There's this giant. All of Israel is trembling. Their knees are literally hitting against each other. They're trembling before this Philistine. It's been happening for 40 days. He's challenged them for a long time. Israel is afraid. And now there's this little tiny youth, this young boy. And there he is saying, here we go. Give me some rocks. Amen? And look what happens in verse 41. It says, the Philistine came walking and drew near to David, and the man bearing the shield went before him. And when the Philistine saw David, he despised him. He says, when the Philistine looked and saw David, he despised him, for he was a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. Wow. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? Can you imagine? That's the way the devil tries to intimidate you and me. He tries to make himself appear so big and strong and like you're so small and puny. And in light of that, he tries to say, you know what, your God's that puny too. But is that true? No, but when we know our God, we're able to stand even face to face to those giants. Amen? Am I a dog that you come with me with sticks? And then the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, and I love his response, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Who and where was David's confidence? It wasn't in himself. It wasn't in anything but in the same God that delivered him from the lion and the bear. His confidence was in God. I'm telling you what, that God wants to work a confidence in your life to the faithfulness of God bringing you through. God wants to show himself strong on your behalf. Don't run away in the midst of your trial. Instead, run to God. And let him give you understanding through what you are going through, even presently. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have reviled. This day, and look at his declarations here. He says, this day the Lord will, this day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. Man, that is confidence in his God, isn't it? He says, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the corpses of the Philistine camp this day to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Wow, David! These were confident declarations. I know my God. And I know that God has been with me through all that I have been through before this. And in the same way he has been faithful, God is going to be faithful with me now. In the same way that God destroyed the lion and the bear, God will destroy you. And he's declaring it. He's not flinching. He's not backing down. And there's this young kid and this huge Philistine with this trumpeting voice, and here are these declarations being made. In verse 47, it says, and then all this assembly will know that this is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle belongs to the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. He knew that God was going to be faithful. And I'm here to tell you, whenever you're facing that giant in your life, you begin to declare to that giant, just like David did, God is going to deliver you into my hand. When that devil starts to say, there's no way that you're going to be brought through this one, you begin to put your trust in the living God and declare to that devil, you liar, God has said he's going to be with me. He will never leave me. The Bible says that God is for me. He is not against me. Amen. You can declare at the top of your voice to that lying devil, greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. You stand that devil to the face and you tell him exactly where to go. Amen. And the Bible says that the Philistine arose. I love it. Verse 48. And it came. He came near to meet David, and David hurried and ran toward that battle line to meet the Philistine. He didn't run away. He ran toward the battle. Amen. And I love it. David put his hand in his bag, took from there a stone, and he slung it, struck the Philistine in his forehead. Therefore the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the ground. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and he struck down the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. And I'm here to tell you that if we will learn to put our trust in the Lord and have our confidence in him, God will deliver us. Amen? God will be faithful to you. Whatever giant comes into your life, be it a trial or a circumstance, whatever it may seem like, it's just gigantic. Don't run away from the giant. Run to your God. And he will give you the confidence, the strength to stand in the heat of battle. Amen? And I'm here to tell you that when you will learn this, you will bring down your giant. You will bring it down without swords. You won't bring it down with the concoctions of man-made weaponry. It will be brought down by the power of God. Amen. In and through your life. Keep your confidence in the Lord. Let's stand.